Working at a Christian bookstore on the side gives me an opportunity to meet many people. And it's interesting, so because they're from different denominations, different backgrounds, different aspects of that. And one thing I'm being constantly told as I talk to people at the store is that churches today just never preach or teach on Bible prophecy. And although people are extremely interested in the subject and they crave to have a knowledge of what God has planned for the future, it appears that there is a dearth of clear and accurate teaching and preaching on Bible prophecy in our churches. Now, you know here that we love Bible prophecy, that we teach and we preach on it quite often. And so we want to begin a series of messages which will examine what the Bible has to say about prophecy. Now, perhaps as we begin a series that, Lord willing, is going to last 4 months, you might be wondering, why is the subject of Bible prophecy so important? Why is it important to me today in the life I live? And I'd like to point out three reasons why Bible prophecy is important to us today. First of all, Bible prophecy should be important to us because of God's emphasis upon it. You see, a major part of the Bible was prophecy when it was written. Over one-fourth, approximately 27% of the Word of God was prophetic when it was written. Think with me. 16 full books of the Old Testament are devoted almost entirely to prophecy. We discover prophecy in the law. We discover it in historical books. And even in the poetic literature. And of course, the Old Testament ends with the writings of the major and minor prophets. And then we turn the page and we come to the New Testament. And we find prophecy in the Gospels, in the book of Acts, in the Pauline and the general epistles, and then in the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. Indeed, of the 27 books of the New Testament, only four fail to mention the most striking aspect of Bible prophecy, and that is Christ's return. If you're going to study the Bible, I say you're going to have to study prophecy because the Bible is a book of prophecy. And since prophecy is obviously important to God, or He wouldn't have given so much space to it, then it should be important to us. Because what's important to God should be important in our lives. Now, secondly, Bible prophecy should be important to us because of what we miss if we ignore it. You can ignore Bible prophecy. You can refuse to read the book of Revelation or the prophets of the Old Testament. When you come to it in the New Testament, you can skip over it or close your eyes. But if you do so, you are doing so to your own harm, to your own disadvantage, because we miss so much if we ignore it. Pastor and evangelist Sam Morris relates the account of a preacher in the hometown in which he, the town in which he used to pastor, who stood and arrogantly boasted that he had never preached on the second coming of Jesus Christ, and he never expected to. Tragically, I would say many pastors across our land could claim the same. But as I preach through the New Testament, as I preach in the Old Testament, I wonder, how can you miss Bible prophecy? No matter where you're preaching, it's there. What is missed when a church refuses to speak on Bible prophecy? What is missed when we as individuals refuse to study the subject of Bible prophecy? Well, many things. If we refuse to consider the prophecies of the Bible, we miss out on some major teachings of the Old Testament. Let us observe just a taste of what is found in the pages of the Old Testament. And we are going to restrict ourselves to the prophecies which have not been fulfilled yet. Because even churches that do not want to look at prophecy often will talk about prophecies which have been fulfilled at Christmas or Easter time. So we're going to look at the unfulfilled prophecies. To begin with, if we ignore Bible prophecy, we will never study in detail the primary prophecy of the Bible. That is Genesis 3:15. This is from which all other prophecies come. God speaking to Satan and through Satan giving a promise to Adam and Eve, "And I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head and you will bruise his heel." Now, many would then say, "Well, wait a second, old preacher, that's already been fulfilled. Jesus Christ came to this world, Satan bruised his heel upon Calvary, and he crushed Satan's head underfoot." Okay, but please notice with me Romans chapter 16, verse 20. It tells us, "And God and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." Paul's saying that the prophecy's not been fully fulfilled. It still has fulfillment. Yes, Jesus began to fulfill this prophecy upon Calvary, but he will not complete the fulfillment of this prophecy until Satan is cast into the bottomless pit and later then cast into the lake of fire. If we ignore Bible prophecy, we will never study God's promises to Abraham, which is later repeated to his son Isaac and his son Jacob, and then repeated to the nation of Israel, what we commonly call the Palestinian covenant. What is the promise? We read, God speaking, "Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." That has not been fulfilled yet. If we ignore Bible prophecy, we will never study God's covenant with King David. 2 Samuel 7:16, "And your throne and your kingdom shall be established forever before you." Your throne shall be established forever. By the way, that's repeated in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 9 through 15. He makes his promise to David, "Your throne will last forever." We've yet to see that fulfillment brought in. If we ignore Bible prophecy, we will never study some of the most blessed writings of that prince of preachers, Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, for example. "He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many peoples. They shall beat their swords in the plowshares and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Or how about Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9? "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play on the cobra's hole, and the winged child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And then there's Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 and then 5 through 6. "The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad then, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert." Would you like to miss those verses? If we ignore Bible prophecy, we will never study much of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 16, verses 14 through 15, give us an example. "Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it will no more be said, the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives, who has brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, from all the lands where he has driven them. For I will bring them back into their land, which I gave to their fathers." Jeremiah 31:31. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Jacob." Or Jeremiah 33:14 through 16. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Jacob. In those days and at that time I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth, In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. If we ignore Bible prophecy, we will never study entire chapters in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36 speaks of Israel's restoration to the land and God's promise to give them a new heart and new spirit. Chapter 37 is the prophecy we know of the valley of dry bones, in which God promises to restore Israel to her land and make an everlasting covenant with her. Chapters 38 through 39 predict a future invasion of the land of Israel by her enemies and how God will protect her. And then the book ends in chapters 40 through 48, which gives detail of a future kingdom temple and the distribution among the tribes of the land of Israel in the future. If we ignore the Bible's prophecies, we will basically never study the entire book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2 gives King Nebuchadnezzar's dream of future world empires, culminating in the establishment of Messiah's kingdom on earth. Chapter 7 records Daniel's vision of the same empires and of Antichrist and of Messiah's victory in his everlasting kingdom. Chapter 9 gives us the vision of the 77s of years, which provides us the key to understanding the chronology and time frame of Bible prophecy. And then chapters 10 through 12 set forth Daniel's final vision, which not only tells us what will happen to the nation of Israel between the Old and New Testament, and by the way, in great detail, but also looks into the distant future and predicts a time of trouble coming upon this planet such as never been, followed by the resurrection of the righteous Jews. And then if we ignore Old Testament Bible prophecy, we will never study great portions of the minor prophets. Just for example, Hosea foretells the future kingdom of the Messiah. Joel predicts the coming of God's judgment during the day of the Lord and the future battle of Armageddon. Amos speaks of the awfulness of the coming day of the Lord. Micah proclaims the coming of peace to this earth. Habakkuk informs us, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Zechariah proclaims a future holocaust for Israel in which 2/3 of the nation will be killed, but the return also of the Messiah and the physical rescue and spiritual salvation of the Jews and the establishment of the Messianic kingdom. And then Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, promises not only the first coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, but his second coming in judgment. And these are merely a sampling of what will be missed if we ignore Old Testament prophecy. There is far more waiting for you to discover. But you might say, well, Pastor, I'm a New Testament Christian. Yes, there's the Old Testament, but I focus a lot on the New Testament. Well, you know, if we refuse to consider the prophecies of the Bible, we will miss out on major teachings and doctrines in the New Testament. For example, if we ignore Bible prophecy, we will never study many of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry and words about him. We will never understand even the angel's words on the night of Christ's birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what? Peace. Goodwill to men. That's not been fulfilled yet. We will never study some of the great parables of Jesus Christ, such as the parable of the fig tree, or the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, and many more. We will never discover what Jesus meant when he said in Luke 17:24, "For as the lightning flashes out from one part under heaven and shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day." We will never grasp Jesus' words on heaven and hell, or what he meant about coming with the angels of heaven in great glory. We will never learn the Lord's marvelous Mount Olivet discourse, which, by the way, is repeated in 3 Gospels of the Bible. in which he describes the coming great tribulation and his own return to this world in victory. And we will never know the full meaning of his promise in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Would you like those words taken out of your Bibles? They're prophecy. If we ignore Bible prophecy, we will never study the words of the angels, which they spoke to the apostles upon the ascent of Jesus Christ. Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And if we ignore Bible prophecy, we will never study so many of the beautiful passages written by the Apostle Paul. We will not know what Paul meant by, I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. He'd said that in his discussion of Israel's current spiritual blindness and future restoration in Romans chapter 12. Or what did he mean in Romans chapter 14 when he wrote, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Or what was he referring to when he wrote about our eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We will certainly not fully understand the great resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in which he proclaims, behold, I shall tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And would we ever want to lose the words of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17? But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede them who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Take away prophecy and you'll never have the comfort of those words. We would lose basically the entire book of 2 Thessalonians because each chapter speaks of the Lord Jesus' return. And let us not forget that even 2 Timothy speaks of the last days in which perilous times will come, and encouraging the preaching of the Word of God because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And what? What are the words of Titus 2:13, which tells us to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ? And if we ignore Bible prophecy, we will never study the writer of Hebrews' exhortation and encourage one another and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so much the more, he says, as you see the day. What day? The day of Christ's return. Approaching. If we ignore Bible prophecy, we will never study James's challenge. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. And if we ignore Bible prophecy, we will never study Peter's teaching on the revelation of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter chapter 1, or of Christ's glory to be revealed in chapter 4 and chapter 5. Nor will we read his caution, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? 2 Peter chapter 3. And we would definitely not hear his words in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens and the earth will pass away with great noise and fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We would miss all of that. If we ignore Bible prophecy, we will never study all of 1 John, where we learn that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And if we ignore it, we will never study the book of Jude, verse 14, where we learn, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. And if we ignore the book of Bible prophecy, I should say, we will never study the crowning jewel of the Bible, the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is basically almost entirely Bible prophecy. This entire book speaks of the future and the victorious return of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, and even them who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. In this prophetic book, we learn of the end of the church age, the stepping on the scene of the Antichrist and his false prophet, the days of the great tribulation on earth, the battle of Armageddon, the return of Christ in glory, the setting up of the kingdom age, the great white throne judgment, the destruction of this present heaven and earth, and the creation of new heavens and earth. And then the heavenly city of New Jerusalem, in which we as believers will live for eternity. Who would want to be without the words, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21, verse 4. Without prophecy, we would be without the last invitation of the Bible. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. Without prophecy, we would be without the last promise of the Bible. He who testifies of these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Revelation 22, verse 20. Without prophecy, we would even be without the last prayer of the Bible. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Revelation 22, verse 20. You see, some would say we can skip over Bible prophecy, but I can't see how we can study the Bible or how we can preach the Bible and teach the Bible without dealing with Bible prophecy. If we refuse to consider the prophecies of the Bible, we well deserve the rebuke of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hypocrites! You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Matthew 16, verse 3. And then, Bible prophecy should be important to us because of what it accomplishes for us here and now. You see, it's not just about what it means in the future. Bible prophecy impacts our lives today in the world in which we live. First of all, Bible prophecy demonstrates that the Bible is the infallible Word of God. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Amos 3, verse 7. You see, we can come to the Bible and prophecy shows us that it's God's Word. There's an old Greek proverb that says the best prophet is the one who's the best guesser. But the prophets of the Bible were not mere guessers. Literally hundreds of biblical prophecies have been fulfilled already, exactly as they were predicted. The Bible has a 100% prophecy fulfillment rate. Indeed, this is one of the greatest evidences of the inspiration of the Bible. We can say, people say, well, how do you know the Bible is the Word of God? We say, hey, let me turn you to the Bible and go to prophecy after prophecy after prophecy and say, here, it's been fulfilled, it's been fulfilled, it's been fulfilled, it's been fulfilled. No other writing can truthfully claim this. Thus, we can trust the Bible as the inspired, inerrant Word of God. We know that its words are true, and we can show others the same thing when they question it. Secondly, that being true, Bible prophecy proves that the God of the Bible is the true Creator God. We read God's challenge to the false gods of that time and to the false gods of today in Isaiah 41, 22 and 23. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Let them show the former things what they were, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare to us things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. You see, God challenges pretenders to his position of supremacy in the universe, saying, show us the future. They can't. Only the true God can accurately predict the future. Go to books of other religions. Go to other types of religions of the world and look at their books. There is not true prophecy there. Since only the true God of the universe can accurately predict the future, only the God of the Bible is the true and living God. And since the prophecies that promised Messiah were literally fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth, he is the God of the Bible who became man for our salvation. Thirdly, Bible prophecy motivates us to come to know Jesus Christ right now as our personal Savior and then share him with others. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me ask you who are believers a question this morning. Why hasn't Jesus returned to this world yet? Why hasn't he come back yet? The simple answer is that God is still giving individuals the chance to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior before he rains judgment down upon this planet. He is giving each of us a chance to repent and place our faith in Jesus Christ now, and thus to escape the wrath to come. And I would plead with anyone who does not know Jesus Christ, has not trusted Jesus to save them, to come to him this instant in prayer, and in heartfelt, sincere prayer, ask him to be your Savior and Lord. Don't delay, because Jesus could come this very day, and you would be left behind. And God is giving those of us who have trusted in him an opportunity to witness to those who are lost around us of our precious Savior while we still have the chance. We have been left here to take his message of salvation to a lost and dying world, but our door of opportunity could quickly close. Let us not neglect our calling. Let us tell the unsaved about our wonderful Redeemer. And one of the best ways to get their interest is to share Bible prophecy. Even the lost wonder what the future holds. God has often used the prospect of the last days and the coming of Jesus Christ to awaken in people their need of a Savior. Sometimes one of the very first books that an unsaved person reads is a book on prophecy. Perhaps some of the first preaching they would hear is preaching on prophecy. Let's invite. Maybe they'll listen to us when we talk to them about what we learn, what the future holds. You see, in every generation where prophecy has been properly proclaimed, the results have been a harvest of souls to the glory of God. Fourthly, Bible prophecy helps us make sense of the chaotic world in which we live. Bible prophecy reveals that God is in sovereign control and everything will work out in his perfect time. Daniel the prophet said to King Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2, verse 28, but there's a God in heaven who reveals secrets. He does it in his word. I don't have time to go into it, but think with me. What are we to make of the threats of war, global pandemics, upheavals in nature, anti-Christian bias such as we've never seen, rising immorality, threats of anarchy, and the apparent weakening of the United States of America on the world stage? That could throw us in the worry, throw us in the chaos. We don't have to be. We can come to the prophecies of the Word of God and have confidence. If we know that God is on His throne guiding history toward its appointed end, then we can rest in knowing that not only does He hold the future in His hands, He holds us in His hands as well. Thus, it relieves us of the fear of this planet's destruction. I remember soon after being married, visiting Ottumwa, Iowa, my wife's hometown, and we met with one of her dear friends. And in the course of conversation, she expressed the fear of atomic destruction and the world being destroyed because of the atomic holocaust. And I was able to assure her the planet would not be destroyed by man-made atomic bombs because the Bible predicts that there's a future kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ which will last for 1,000 years under His peaceful rule. That same is true of other global threats we hear about today. Be it being hit by an asteroid, be it being global warming, if that even is true, be it all the other things of pandemics and everything else, is the world going to be wiped out? No. God still has a plan for it, and we know that because of Bible prophecy. Fifthly, Bible prophecy challenges us to live for Jesus Christ and study the Bible in its entirety. We read in 1 John 3:3, "And everyone who has this hope, the hope of our Lord's return, in him purifies himself just as he, Christ, is pure." When we live our lives in the light of Christ's imminent return, it changes our life. It changes the manner of our lives because we want to live a life that we will meet Him with joy and not meet Him with shame. We will want to know the Word of God. We will live honest lives. We will live pure lives. We'll want to be a better spouse, a better parent, a better child, a better employee or employer. We'll just want to be a better neighbor. We want to share Christ in our lives with others. And then we read all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture, oh, by the way, that includes prophetic Scripture, that 1/4, 27% of the Bible. Understanding God's plan for the future will give a person the best framework possible for understanding the Bible in its entirety, from Genesis to Revelation. One of the things which I discovered as a young Christian is my love for prophecy. And my study of prophecy has driven me more and more and more to know the Word of God from the beginning to end. And it will do the same for you. Sixthly, Bible prophecy comforts us in times of deepest sorrows. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Nothing brings comfort to the hurting heart more than the knowledge of what is in store for the believer in the future. Death for the believer is merely a doorway into God's presence. And the greatest family reunion of all time is in our future at the rapture of the church. We will spend all of eternity with our saved loved ones in the presence of Jesus Christ. What can be more comforting than that? And finally, Bible prophecy encourages us because we know that God will ultimately be victorious. Thinking of this, it reminded me of a story I've heard of a young boy who was reading an exciting adventure novel, I think maybe a Dick Tracy novel years ago, late one night, when his mother told him, "Hey, turn out your lights and get to bed." Now, the hero was in imminent danger. I mean, it looked like he was going to be killed. How in the world could this boy turn out the light and go to bed with the hero about to be killed in this novel? So quickly, he thought, and he turned to the end of the book, and he saw that the hero was still alive. And so he peacefully turned out the light, turned over, and went to sleep. Knowing that if the hero was alive at the end of the story, then he had escaped the situation in which he was in. You know, knowing the end of the world story brings peace and encouragement to us today. You see, we have read the end of the book, and Jesus wins. "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Revelation 19, verses 11 and 16. But on the other hand, Revelation 20 verse 10 tells us the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Yes, I admit, at times it may seem as if the devil's winning. But rest assured, my friends, that God is still on his throne and that in his perfect time, everything will be resolved for the best and to his glory. Should we be interested in Bible prophecy? Yes. It is extremely important. It is important and deserves our attention because God's emphasis is placed upon it. Because of great passages which we will miss out on if we ignore it. And because it can accomplish great things in our lives today. As we close, let me ask you this. Will you join me in learning what the Bible says about the future and then in living it out each day in our own personal lives? Let's stand. Let's close with this song, I hope, making a commitment to know what the Bible says, to live with it, and as you can, be out to these services and invite those around you. Salvation in Jesus Christ. We thank you, dear Lord, for the prophecies of the Bible and the imminent coming of Jesus back for us. And dear Lord, then what will happen? And finally, dear Lord, the kingdom age and then a new heaven and new earth. And Lord, how we long, because even of this, more and more to worship you. May we take your word out to a lost and dying world. And may we glorify you this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.